What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He is Lions head coach Dan Campbell. Coach, appreciate some of your time. Good morning.
Good morning. How's it going?
Good.
Yeah, it's going all right. How's this one sat with you now that you've had to sit with it for a couple of days?
Yeah, I mean, it's you never like losing, and especially when you cost your team as a head coach. But I'll be honest with you, I woke up today, man, I'm ready to go. I mean, that's just how I am. So I'm moving forward. We got to put together a really good plan for this opponent. They're playing good football right now out there, but we got to get back on track, and I think we will.
You mentioned it. You said the coach cost him. You took the blame coming out of half in the post game, and listening to some of the guys in the locker room, it seems like they respect that you had that accountability. But there was a second half, and there were some other things that you guys could have done to win that game. Can you just break down some of the issues holding down and holding back the offense, getting bogged down in the red zone? Where's, as you diagnosed that, where did you guys go wrong?
Yeah, I mean, really, it wasn't just one guy. I mean, there was, you know, we get down there and, we have one, okay, we don't like the call. You know, I know that Ben had one he'd like to have back down there. Okay, well, there's one. Then we get down there, we have an MA on a route, you know, that's going to be a gimme to get us continue as we get down there tighter. Then we have a missed block, you know. We have a misread. And it was like just one thing after another, and it was never one person. It was just one person here, one person there, and we're just a tick off. That was really kind of the story of the day down there. It's like I said yesterday, we are so close to just blowing this out. And look, like I say, when you get the game that tight, you know, the objective is to win. And look, Tampa, they played a hell of a game, and I would never take anything away from Bowles and that team, what they did. But the bottom line is, you get in that type of game, man, every point counts. Every drive counts. And the last thing you can have happen is for your coach to botch that right before halftime. So I like our odds. I don't do that. And then we clean the rest of this up. We move forward. So, look, one of the other things is our run game wasn't great in the red zone either. We tried to get our run game going there late, and really particularly in the red zone, it wasn't good other than our 4th-and-1 that we had, you know, that Gibbs hit it and toe-tapped down there. We got a big game. But everything else, it was, you know, we just couldn't get it going, and that was the plan, is once we kind of opened it up with a pass game, we'd run it.
With the offense in large part having all the key components back, and from the outside looking in, it feels like everything else that you lost from last year has been upgraded. Are you surprised at two games in that you're just a tick off offensively?
No, I mean, look, you're always hopeful that you're going to hit the ground running. I mean, every coach would tell you that. I mean, you're just hopeful that, man, you're hitting on all cylinders and it comes. But no, I'm not shocked. I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't be shocked if we're not cooking by the time we get to the bye. I mean, it just sometimes it takes a minute. I mean, all those great offenses we had in New Orleans, the great offenses that we've had here over the last 3 years, man, it's not always perfect, and it's not always perfect early. And so, no, I'm not rattled or shaken by this at all. We are so much closer than I think a lot of people even realize. Our players understand it, the coaches understand it, but we just have to correct, really, those issues that came up the other day. Just the small little details and the nuances of the game plan per the opponent. And because we made so many improvements from the Rams game. And so we just got to do that again here and take it out to Arizona.
Areas of improvement, or maybe getting a tick better. Why has Sam Laporta not been more involved through two games?
Well, I think some of Sam is, you know, he had the injury coming out of training camp. And so we were trying to be smart with him, for the Rams game for sure. And I was actually worried about him getting too many reps in the Rams game. So, you know, you start trying to build a huge game plan for a guy and you don't know if he'll be able to make it all those reps. You know, and then you get hurt or something happens, you just lost, you know, 40% of your game plan. So you got to be smart about that. And I think last week we had some things in for him. Hell, we had a couple of plays down in the red zone they took away. You know, defensively they did a good job. We dumped it down. And so the ball just didn't really find him for this game. But look, he's not somebody we don't think about. We want to get all those guys touches. We want to get Saint more touches, and Saint had a lot. I mean, let's get it in his hands. We want to get Gibbs more touches, Montgomery. We want to get Laporta. We'd like to get Leaf a couple more, J-Mo. So we got a lot of mouths to feed, and look, we're going to use everything at our disposal to help us win here.
One of the bright spots, obviously, 4.5 sacks from Aiden Hutchinson. I know you've talked about his effort before, and you mentioned in week one against the Rams, you weren't going to get home because that ball was coming out so quickly. How consistent has Aiden Hutchinson been for you guys, and is this just a matter of you're finally seeing all of it show up in a stat column?
Yeah, I would say this. Number one, Hutch, you know, like you started this off with, I don't know if anybody quite understands just how hard this guy works. I mean, he grinds in practice, and he grinds in the games. I mean, he works and works and works. And when you're a player that has talent and you grind on it and you work your craft and you continue to develop other moves and other ways to win, and then you set your mindset to where I know I have to beat two. I have to beat two. Because now he's going to start getting three. He's going to get the release through by the tight end. He's going to get the chip from the back, and he's got to beat the tackle. So now his mindset's got to be, I got to beat three. I got to beat three. And he doesn't bitch. He doesn't complain. He doesn't worry about it anyway. He just works. And his craft has gotten so much better. And so when you do that and have that, and then you're talking about guys around him playing at a high level, like Levi. I thought Levi played so dang good yesterday or 2 days ago. I mean, he was so disruptive. But those guys, you know, they all have a piece of that pie, man, the way that the rush lanes work, the rush plan. And so Levi helped Hutch. Reader helped Hutch. Mac helped Hutch. They're all kind of feeding off each other because, man, they're doing their job. They're rushing unselfishly, and the ones who's have the most dividends from it in the stat sheet is Hutch right now, but they're all about to get some out of this. They'll all eat eventually.
Yeah, you can't hand out hardware after two games, but I know DJ Reader has said there are the tools for Aiden Hutchinson to be the defensive player of the year. Do you see that?
Man, I would never bet against Hutch. I mean, he's got everything. He's got everything that it would take to get to that point. It's just you never know. It's a long season. I don't know what's going on outside of this league. But if you're talking about a guy who's got it and works at it and is going to do everything that you ask in a plan and help your team win and play at a high level, I mean, he's it. You know, so. And I just know he's wired, man. He's wired right, and he's just going to continue to bring it. And, like, the things about him right now, he wants more. And I love that. You love that about him. I mean, he just smells blood in the water, and he wants more, he wants more, he wants more. And so he's pretty driven that way.
For Jared Goff, obviously a couple of interceptions. The first one, I'm not going to put that one on him because I thought it was P.I. I don't know if you guys have turned that one into the league, but he's played at a better level. What are some of the issues he's been dealing with? What are you seeing from Jared Goff?
Yeah, look, I think there was a couple of things that, and I told him this yesterday. One of the notes I wrote, I'm like, man, I just feel like a couple of times you're trying to do too much is all. You know, he's trying to keep the play alive a little longer than need be. Just a couple of things there that I felt like, you know, didn't help us. But other than that, I mean, look, he's going to find his rhythm. For some things that didn't go well, he also threw some outstanding passes in this game, some big-time passes. And so, you know, look, he got hit a few times. We were going to rely on him considerably. in this game, you know, completion type game. They did a good job of mixing a number of things up. I did think he saw it well, but look, there's a few times now too where he's in there and the throw is there to be had, and man, he's got to get rid of it. You know, it's force in his face, and so the way the play is designed, that guy is open, but we can't get him the ball. You know, so look, he's going to be fine. I'm not worried about him. You know, he's a competitor. He's like any of us, man. He wants to play better. I want to coach better. So he's going to bounce back and be just fine.
Talking to Lions head coach Dan Campbell, I know you said some of the game plan was pass to set up the run, but were you at all surprised to see 55 pass attempts, especially second half when they lost Vita Vea? It felt like, hey, that your identity, that doesn't feel like Dan Campbell football. Get some more rushing attempts in there.
Yeah, I think when we came out of the game, it was like, wow, man, I didn't realize we had 55 attempts. But no, Ben and I talked about this going into it, and we felt like it was the right thing to do, and I'm not going to second-guess that. It was really leading up to like it was before, and we're so close to making the play. And, you know, we almost, man, there's a few of those runs, a few of the passes that we had that we were so close, so... No, I'm not worried about that. I'm not going to second guess it. Listen, every opponent is different. Every game plan is different. So, listen, we can go back and forth on all that. The bottom line is, and why you're asking all this, is because we lost the game. And so I get it. You know, I understand that. And but, you know, if we had to do it all over again, yeah, I might give a couple more carries, but it would still be tilted to the pass game.
Dan, just a last note then, looking ahead. Arizona, road game, mindset. What are the things you stress this week?
Well, I think more importantly than anything is us getting back on track, man. Let's just focus on us, worry about us. We can't look down the road. We can't, you know, begin to look like, what is it? Who won? What's going on in our division? Just worry about what we are here. We can't listen to outside noise. Let's get back on track. Let's really study and understand this opponent. And really, it's about being 1-0. This is a new week. We got one opponent here. It's one game, and we need to come out of this 1-0. That's really going to be the story of the week.
We'll talk to you after the Arizona game. Appreciate
Thanks,
your time. Thanks, Dan.
All right. Thanks, guys.
It's Lions head coach Dan Campbell. It's 97.1.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Jared, as always, thanks for being with us. And how's the week of practice been so far as you get set for this Arizona game?
Yeah, it's good. You know, we're just right in the middle of our Wednesday, getting ready for Arizona and gearing up for another tough matchup, and it'll be good.
You guys have taken the expectation in this town to a very high place, and as you might imagine, in our line of work, when you lose a game, there is a degree of shock. And one of the more popular calls we get after a loss is about play calling. And is there anything you can provide insight on the intricacies of play calling, that it's a lot tougher than it looks, or there's a lot more going on than people realize?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, by all accounts, our guy is as good as it gets in this league. So, you know, anytime he's calling plays for me, I'm fired up. And, yeah, it's hard. It is really hard. It's hard to game plan. It's hard to call the plays at the right moment. It is hard, but track record shows our guy does a pretty good job of it.
We got a call yesterday from somebody said it's simple. David Montgomery in the red zone finishes drives. And I'm like, it's probably more complicated than that. How would you respond to somebody who said that?
Yeah, he does. I think, you know, we love giving the ball to David as often as we can. But, you know, there's also, you know, 10 other guys on the offense that we have to account for, and certainly 11 guys on defense, depending on what they're doing, that dictates, you know, certain ways that we have to maneuver throughout a game. And yeah, sure, David's a great player, but the game dictated otherwise yet last week.
Dan Campbell said that he thought that maybe you were trying a little bit too much to make the bigger play. Does that mean that he thought that you were like waiting a bit longer for the plays to develop rather than just taking what's right in front of you, or how do you interpret that?
No, yeah, I think he's right. I think it's just knowing when the play's over and not trying to make something out of nothing and not try to, you know, will us back in one play. Just do your job one play at a time. And I think that's something I was able to take from that game that I need to do a better job. It's just doing my job and not trying to, like he said, do too much or try to create something that isn't there.
Josh Reynolds seemed like he was a bit of a security blanket for you and the offense over the last couple of years. His first down percentage on catches was absolutely ridiculous. But for lack of a better term, are you still searching for a new security blanket, or is one emerging in practice, or is it just simply St. Brown?
I mean, I got a whole lot of wideouts and running backs that I love throwing to here. And, you know, it doesn't just stop at St. Brown. I mean, Jameson, Khalif, Sam Laporta, shoot, Brock. You know, I'll throw it to David. I'll throw it to Jameer. We'll throw it to all sorts of guys. So I don't know how to answer that other than I love throwing it to our guys.
Sam Laporta, Dan Campbell revealed on our morning show yesterday that he's kind of being brought back slowly from the injury. Do you see him getting healthier, and do you imagine he will be a big part of the game plans moving forward?
Yeah, I think as we go, I'm sure he's as good of a tight end in this league as it gets. And, of course, we want to get him as involved as we can. And he looks good. He's running. I'm sure he feels good. And, yeah, I think Dan's right on.
So Tim Patrick, he's obviously a bigger target for you to throw to. Dan Campbell talked about his massive catch radius. How have you seen him get better as he gets more reps in practice, and how big of an impact can he have? I mean, he kind of alluded to it last week, mentioned his name, and then he gets to get in the starting lineup. Well, where do you see him fitting in?
Yeah, Tim's done a good job. He just keeps kind of learning as he goes. You know, our offense isn't easy to pick up in 1 week, but he's done a great job, really has, learning. I thought he stepped in there nicely last week and had a couple good catches and good runs after catch, and yeah, his role will only grow as time goes on, I would imagine, and he's doing a good job.
One thing that we've kind of learned in talking to you is that you really value trust with a receiver, and you always talk about it with Amon-Ra. You've given us very specific examples, which has been really cool, but in the case of Tim Patrick, how quickly can you develop that trust? Like, that's something that it feels like it's developed over time, but I imagine it seems like, you know, can you get to where you really trust a guy early? He's only been here a couple weeks.
Sure, yeah, you can. It takes a lot of reps and a lot of, you know, time in between practice, not necessarily our actual reps of practice, but, you know, we had some time in between where we can talk and work through different things. And, I mean, I trusted him enough to throw him that ball on the sideline. We were so close to getting that ball in there on that third and longer. But, yeah, Tim's doing a great job. He really is, and that trust is building.
How aware of you, or do you make concerted efforts not to be predictable with tendencies and who you throw to or target? Does that go through your mind at all during the course of a game when plays are called? You're like, well, okay, maybe we've gone to the well a lot with this player. Maybe we need to work it to somebody else.
Through my mind, zero. I'm sure it goes through Ben's mind as he's calling the plays, yeah.
Interesting. So watching the All-22, I was like, you know, the other part of this whole game, Tampa did a really good job. What you saw, did you see a Tampa team that was really prepared and had a really good day defensively?
You know, yeah, you tip your cap to them. They did play well, and they played well the last two times we played them too last year, and we were just able to play a little bit better. So they are a good team. They're a well coached team. They did a good job against us, and we did not do our best.
So Arizona coming up, one of the more amazing stats is that you guys have not lost back to back games since that season back in 2022. Oh, you think I'm jinxing it now?
I'm just saying.
But doesn't that speak a little bit to what this team is and where you guys are, that you always come back from a loss?
Yeah, I think it talks to our resilience and our ability to respond. Yeah, I, you know, of course, you never want to lose two in a row, and I hope it doesn't happen for us this year. But I think if anything, it speaks to our ability to respond, and it starts with Dan, and he's as good as I've been around at coming back on Monday after a loss and putting things in perspective and pushing us on the right track quickly. So hopefully we can get back on track this week. Arizona's another tough team. They're hungry. They're young. They're playing well, and it'll be fun.
You've got a lot of games under your belt playing at Arizona. Does anything stand out to you about playing there? Like the turf, is the turf different? The lighting different? Does the logo make you smile? What's different about playing there?
You know, it is grass indoors. And anytime you get that, I think them and Vegas might be the only two teams that have it now. Grass indoors is a lot of fun. You know, it's soft. You know, the turf is always tough on your joints at times. You know, not necessarily for me, but a lot of our guys that are hitting the ground a little more often and running, turf can be tough on your joints. And you know the whole story with turf, but you know the grass and you're inside and on the road is always fun. You know, you get a ruckus crowd there. It is fun.
What challenges does their defense present?
You know, they do a lot of different stuff. They really do, and I think, you know, right away you see Buda Baker jump off the tape and the ways they use him and move him around, and he's as electric player that, you know, I've ever played against, and I played against him since college all the way through. We were NFC West opponents a lot and. Got a lot of respect for him, but yeah, they've got a lot of young players who are hungry. They play really hard. They're a freaking good team, and we're excited to go out there.
Speaking of defense, what can you say about Aiden Hutchinson?
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. It really was, and it's a shame we let it go in vain and weren't able to hold up our end of the bargain on offense, but it really was impressive on the sideline watching that and being like, damn, another one. And I think, you know, you've seen it this whole offseason with him, with his work, and I've seen his body change, you know, since he was a rookie until now, and just his work ethic and the time he puts into it and how much he cares and his standard for himself, it's extremely high. And when you have a player that you can combine all that stuff, good things happen, and it was fun to see that.
Is he a pain in the ass to practice against? I mean, is the whistle constantly being blown because obviously they can't hit quarterbacks in practice, but would you stop blowing up the play? We gotta run the offense here.
he started to enter that territory of ruining practice at some points throughout training camp, and it's tough. He's a tough guy to block, and I don't care who you are.
Hey, Cal is 3-0. We got the big win over San Diego State last week. Now it's on to Florida State. Are the Bears going to continue to keep the Seminoles in a tailspin?
Yeah, you know, we're starting our I think this is our first ACC game, right? So yeah, it would be, right? Yeah, so yeah, we got to keep winning, and if we win this one, we're 4-0, and we got the U at home the week after, so you never know.
And lastly, have you had a chance to keep up with what the Detroit Tigers are doing? I know you're a baseball guy. Your dad played professional baseball. Are you keeping up with what the Tigers are doing right now?
Yeah, I'm aware they're in a playoff push. I don't know if I know exactly how many more they need or what they need to happen, but I'm aware they're in the hunt and playing well.
Well, good luck. Appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us, and we will talk again next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
There he is, Jared Goff here on 97.1 The Ticket. Do you think any of the play calling stuff at the beginning answered anybody's questions? You think they're...
No.
No.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it,
in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to get a Cockaboose Railroad outside of Spartan Stadium. Can't wait. It's going to be exciting. Kenny, if they ever created it, I'd buy one of those railroad cars. We would have our own personal tailgate spot.
No sense. Why are you listening?
That is not a Spartan. That is not related. That is
David?
Not...
What, wait a minute. Wait, what does a Gamecock have to do with a train? Nothing. They're decommissioned railroad cars that are tailgate party cars. Who cares? You just make stuff up. When the hell did Tennessee get a Navy? They barely have teeth.
Come on, man. Just over Kenny's cousins. What are you talking about?
We reconditioned Greyhound buses. There you go.
You know what? We should. All the old Catabuses.
Right.
The Cataboose Rail. All right, let's get to it. Lions. Wait, what?
What if we put a queue line around the stadium?
Honestly, just build a people mover around Spartan Stadium. It'd be the same thing.
Old people mover cars.
That's where we'll put all the old alums. Just stick them in the people mover. Convince them they're actually going into the stadium, but they're not. We're just going to lock the cars, throw away the key, and spin them around for 3 hours.
Yeah, and that way you get your lounge. Because they're like, you know, we've been riding around for the last 45 minutes. You're almost there,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, almost there. Parliament, Big Ben.
You're almost
Parliament,
there.
Big Ben. Lions, I have a question. You just heard the update there. You have teams in this league. The Cowboys just got a bomb dropped on them. The Eagles clown card a game last night. The Ravens are 0-2. Yet here, Lions 1-1, a lot of consternation after the first 2 weeks. Here's my question. What is, now that the dust is settled, it's Tuesday, late afternoon, what is the concern level with the Lions? Now, let me give you, at least in my world, what the grading scale looks like. Is in the NFL, nobody gets a zero. It's just not that kind of league. No one's Georgia. The only team with a one is probably the Chiefs, because you got Michael Jordan. You have the cheat code. I would put the Lions in the next classification. My concern would be a two. I believe what Dan Campbell told the morning show. I want to play you this audio, and I want to play the people this audio.
So from 0 to 10?
Yeah, 0 to 10, I'd be okay. A two. I don't make snap judgments this early, and I thought Dan Campbell said something really interesting, and it's what I was alluding to, so at least it lets me know I'm not crazy, is that it takes time. You can't hit the ground running, and he cited some situations in his career, but I want to know if you have an issue with the answer he gives. This is from the morning show. They had him on this morning, Odyssey.com Rewind, if you want the whole interview. David, hit the button.
Are you surprised at 2 games in that you're just a tick off offensively?
No, I mean, look, you're always hopeful that you're going to hit the ground running. I mean, every coach would tell you that. I mean, you're just hopeful that, man, you're hitting on all cylinders and it comes. But no, I'm not shocked. I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't be shocked if we're not cooking by the time we get to the bye.
Do you have an issue with that? I treat that as honesty and realism in today's NFL with no live fire in training camp, right? Mm-hmm. Couple of weeks in, and I think they're close. Like, look, that screenplay, late stages of the game, if Ragnow doesn't block the wrong guy, it's probably a touchdown. They're close. There's little things that just aren't quite where they need to be. But if I'm just being soft about this, people tell me. If you're concerned, let's hear it. Rico, what did you make of that audio?
I made of that audio something that I wanted them to do, but I understand why they didn't do it. But it's why I said maybe you get a series or two in the preseason so that game one isn't, hey, my name's Jared Goff, what's yours? And you have to figure each other out because you haven't really played together since the offseason. That's why I wanted to see, hey, guys, give me 2 series. If you can go out there and score on both series, your day is done, but at least you're facing live bullets. You're going out there and you're hitting the ground running instead of delaying it, because I get what he's saying, and the team will work things out, but this is what happens when you decide to sit everybody the entire preseason. My concern level from a 1 to 10, probably a 3. Because you're having problems with what used to be your biggest strength last year, the red zone. You're not able to score. You're able to move the ball. You're able to get a lot of yards, but it means nothing. It's empty calories. You have to be able to put the ball in the end zone when it's not a 50-yard play. When you're down there first, you know, first and 10 from the 15-yard line, it used to be an automatic touchdown last year. Now you're 1-7, and it's like, okay, what's going on here? You're throwing picks, so it's a 3 for me. It's fixable. It's correctable. But, yes, okay. I do believe him where it's going to take a little bit of time because this is really preseason game number 3.
But I want to know if the people have the same patience or the same perspective. He also said something about Sam Laporta that might answer the questions for us. We've talked about where is Sam Laporta. And I thought he had a great line. He goes, look, guys, you know, the guy had the injury out of training camp. We weren't going to install, you know, 40% of our game plan for Sam Laporta, and then he gets hurt, and you're shorthanded with your install for that week. So part of this has been a little bit intentional. They're working him back slowly. They didn't want to put their eggs in a basket of a guy that's not 100%. I thought it was illuminating. Look, I'll give Campbell credit. The one thing that he does, he's willing to be honest. I mean, I 9 out of 10 interviews with coaches or general managers are useless. I don't say that to insult anyone in particular. It's more of a general statement. They're useless.
Yeah.
Dan Campbell's worth your time.
Yeah, so, he told it like it was. I heard the interview as well. I sent Cookies a text saying, hey, great questions, because he just came out and said, what the heck's going on with Laporta?
But
he didn't build up to it. He just asked, what's going on?
What's your concern level, and are you okay with what Campbell said? That, look, it's going to take time. Like, they might not be full tilt by the bye week. Yeah. Where are you at with that? 248-539-9797. David, what do you got?
See, I would also be with you, Rico. Mine's a 3 as well. I wish it could be a 2, but it's the red zone that kind of leans me to the 3 because they haven't been good in red zone. And I know, and I get it, they didn't play in the preseason, but you work on that at home in practice. You work on that almost every day. That is a session in practice. So red zone should be a little bit more sharper to me because of that, and it's not. So it's a 3. It's not a full panic. It's not at all.
But think about this too, fellas, right? Like, if people think we're being soft about it, well, A, I think they're a Super Bowl team. All right. You'd be more panicked in Baltimore right now, right? You'd be more panicked in Dallas giving up 50 at home, right? How would you feel, and this is not slander, how would you feel being a Niners fan right now? Your first-round pick got shot. CMC might be done. I mean, I don't like what I'm hearing there. And Debo's going to be out for what looks like a month. Look, my point is, we don't have it so bad. And I do think they're close to this offense looking the way it should be. They just put up almost 500 yards. It's the devil's in the details, and I'm with Rico. These are the preseason games.
Yeah.
Defensively, they look good. Who's got a problem with their defense?
Nobody. Well, here's the thing. When you look at it, and it helped last night with the Eagles losing and everybody else losing, you're sitting there 1-1. Because if I said, hey, you know who's the undefeated teams in the NFC? Minnesota. Are you afraid of them? No. New Orleans, are you afraid of them? No. You may be, but for now, no. Tampa, they just beat, and Seattle. Those four teams are undefeated. I don't think either any of those four teams are going to be in the NFC Championship.
And just a note, David, the Cockaboose, car number 16 and 17 are for sale as a pair. You got to buy both Cockabooses as a pair, $399,000.
Yeah, we could do that. No problem.
Well, Kenny, you could live in one of these. I mean, these things are outfitted. They have toilets. You're good to go. And there's no cat.
And there's no neighbors above me doing right. The nasty. Yeah.
That's still going on?
A couple more times because the summer's almost over. The warm months are almost over, you know?
What is it with these two?
I don't know.
Or 3. I don't know what's going on.
Don't know, Michael.
There. All right. Okay. Can someone get Kenny a home without jackrabbits upstairs?
Can I swing around?
Okay. That's no. Mm-mm. No. No. I don't know where. Yeah. That's on David. Don't look at me, Kenny.
We're all believers. Lions get back on the wagon this week with a win.
Ugh, I just don't like the term, cost the lock.
It's not an auto loss. It wins sometimes.
Oh, it does?
It does.
What was your cost the lock last week?
There wasn't one last week.
Okay,
this
what was your cost
the fall?
Oh, this is the first of the fall.
First of the fall. None yet on Cash the Ticket. This is the very first cost the lock of the season.
Okay.
You're confident. You should be confident.
I am confident.
Don't let this psych you out, dude. Like, the Lions are in a great spot this week.
Dropped a dude on me.
A dude. A man.
Man, here's the deal. The stat I gave you is a real stat.
You're confident, dude.
John, I went back because everybody knows the Lions are really good off a loss. Dan Campbell's a great coach, a motivator. He rallies the troops. And I went back and looked at all seven times that they lost and bounced back, going back to 2022 when they really got going. John, these are double-digit wins in 6 of 7. They don't just come back and eke it out. They come back and announce their presence with authority. And if this team is half as good as we think they are, they'll go on the road and they'll beat Arizona. They'll get back to 2-1. This offense, if it's half as good as we think it is, has a great matchup. Arizona, 31st against play action. What's the one thing that, you know, Jared Goff really excels at is get that run game going and then the play action pass. Big spot for Laporta, big spot for the red zone. Put up a bunch of points and take care of business.
And it would be oh so satisfying. Like, there's a lot of satisfying wins in the NFL. And yes, beating Green Bay, Chicago, Minnesota, those are all very satisfying and gratifying. But beating a little brat, which I think Kyler Murray is just a little brat. I'm going to, you know, wipe my social media of the Cardinals until you give me a new contract. Like, he just whines like a little child that's not getting his way. And then when things don't go as well, he's the definition of a front runner. When things are great, oh, I'm Kyler Murray. I'm a two-sport, you know, athlete. I'm doing this. I can run around. I can make some throws. And then all of a sudden, they hit some tough times, and he's the first one to, you know, throw shade on his teammates. He's the first one to pout on the sidelines, just like you would think a little brat would. Beating Kyler Murray is kind of like beating Aaron Rodgers. It just does gives you a special feeling. And that's what I also want this weekend.
Okay, the concern I'm sure people will bring up is he is a mobile quarterback, sure. And the Lions have struggled against some mobile quarterbacks. Here's the key. Turning pressures into sacks, they've done that the first 2 weeks of the season. And you can go, well, it's because they played against backup offensive linemen. Aiden's only going off because he's... Well, good news, guys. They have a backup right tackle again this week. So I don't really care how it happens, but if you turn pressures into sacks, Kyler Murray doesn't get to scamper around because the play's over, the whistle blows, and you got to get back to the line of scrimmage facing second and long or third and long, or the punter's on the field.
And sacks are great. I would love for Aiden Hutchinson to have a repeat performance, even if it's not, you know, 4.5, if it's 1.5, 2. To me, that would be great, but constant pressure... But to me, this one is more about, yes, applying the pressure. And Marcus Davenport, he practiced, looks like he's going to play in the game. Being able to keep him in the pocket, make him throw the ball over top of 6'6 offensive linemen. Where is the rest of the field? He can't see it. Like, I just keep him in the pocket. Don't let him outside where he is scampering around, making more time for receivers to get downfield, find a way to get open. Just keep him in the pocket. Be disciplined in your rush lanes. Don't over-pursue.
Can Kyler ride the new Cedar Point ride? Do we have confirmation?
I don't think he's allowed to.
He might not be allowed.
Okay. I think he'd be under the limit.
The threshold. Yeah. Keep an eye on it.
This is somebody that Colin would definitely tower over.
Oh, really?
Oh, he would look
down. I
thought
you were going to make a joke and be no. They could wait for the ride together until I got right. off of it or something.
Oh, no, he would be looking down. That's how diminutive this dude is.
Yeah, and you mentioned Davenport. How about the second game for Reeder? Like, don't you expect, hey, he got his feet under him. That should be another big push up front for the Detroit Lions D-line this week. Like,
yeah, I mean, so insert any name in the interior. Lee McNeil. Levi Onwuzurike has followed through on all of the great things that were being said about him during training camp, and now you throw DJ Reader in the mix? Hell yeah.
Okay, so here's what we want from you guys. This is a Football Friday. We all think the Lions are going to win. Are we missing anything? Does anybody have a bad feeling about this game? A word that we'd like to use is trust. We trust the Lions. Mm-hmm. This is a game where you could lose trust as well. 248-539-9797. Are you going to this game is another interesting thing to monitor, because John, remember the story last year?
Oh, it was Kansas City. And you looked in and how could they possibly take over Arrowhead? They did. They did it at Lambeau.
Lambeau was noteworthy. That's a rival. They pride themselves on
in division.
Great fans.
Oh, we're not going to sell our tickets to you. The Lions fans took it over. Amon-Ra St. Brown celebrating with fans postgame. Brad Holmes celebrating with Lions fans postgame in Lambeau. I mean, In Arizona, right?
Tampa was another one they took over. And Arizona is not this rabid sports
city. No. They think it's kind of cool that we have a sports team.
Yeah.
We'll go because it's going to be air conditioned inside and it's really hot outside. Like that is their mindset. It's not we're going to go and support our team because we think we're really good. And Lions fans, take it over.
Ticket text, the first one I see. Kyler Murray looks under his bed. Not for monsters, but for Aiden Hutchinson, Devin, and Garden City.
That's a great ticket text.
Keep them coming. Ticket text pouring in, talking Lions football on a Friday. They're in Arizona against the Cardinals. Are you making plans to take over the stadium again this season? And then the confidence level. We all trust this football team. This is a game you could lose trust, though. Anybody with a bad feeling? We'll take phone calls and ticket text 248-539-9797. Ticket texter is saying, hopefully the dew point of the grass will be favorable for the Lions. Right, Tom? Right, John?
Yes, we've already made comment about that.
The Lions' defensive line needs to nap the over pursuit and finally put Kyler Murray onto the ground. Hutch with 6 sacks this week.
Would be amazing. 11.5 after let's tamp down that just
Listen,
a little bit.
If he has 6.5 total at the end of this game, that would mean he got to Kyler.
Yes.
That would be good enough, right? Okay. 6
let's
sacks.
Let's go ahead. Season's over. Defensive player of the year.
I have concerns with the Lions game. Arizona's been on fire offensively for the first 2 games. Ken in Fenton. Let's talk about Arizona's offense. Okay, Kyler had a really good game too, and they got Marvin Harrison Jr. the ball. And he's going to have a play or two in this game. He's good. But their offense is a run-first offense. The Lions have been very good stopping the run overall. If you put him in obvious passing situations, he's going to be running around. And that might be where Arizona wants him to be, but I think that's where Aiden Hutchinson wants him to be too. And if you're turning pressures into sacks, those are negative plays. Great. Costa just jinxed the Lions. Can you also Costa lock USC for me too? Thanks a lot, Jim. Mike in Sterling Heights.
Can we have 2 Costa locks in 1 week?
It has happened historically.
Oh, it has.
But it was at a previous station, and I'm not really sure about the
rules here,
the legality of such a thing.
Oh no,
if the universe would allow
such a
thing.
Who'd you pick, Michigan or?
I think it might have been a double dip Michigan and Lions. Years and years ago.
Right. No, I'm talking about now.
Oh, the Costa. Oh, this week? Yeah, I took Michigan.
Okay. So, don't Costa.
So, you don't want that double Costa lock.
No.
Here's actually, it's funny that this comes up this week. The very first Costa lock ever could be credited to Matt Patricia. The very first game he ever coached for the Detroit Lions, they faced a rookie quarterback, Sam Darnold, on Monday Night Football. And I didn't know what Costa lock meant, but I was really confident. I loved my team. I thought they were going to crush.
You wielded a weapon and didn't know the power of the weapon?
My co-host at the time goes, I don't know, you're so confident. What is it, a Costa lock? And I go, yeah, sure, call it whatever you want. It's a Costa lock. Now, you may remember how that Monday night game went, and the legend was born ever since. But I will tell you, like many things with the Lions, things are different. I Costa locked them against Green Bay a couple years ago at Lambeau. They took care of business. These Lions can overcome that. These Lions are a team that I find comfort in.
Yeah,
a team I can believe in.
Great.
A team I can believe in and a team that backs it up.
I believe that's 3 straight shows that Matt Patricia's name's been said.
Yeah,
why?
Lions fans right now are shaking everywhere
exactly.
With anger.
So in terms of this game, I think we all expect the offense to get a little more in sync. It's going to be very troubling if that doesn't happen. The concern is Kyler Murray, mobility, and it's the first time they face a mobile quarterback this year. Mm-hmm. I mean, Baker can jive around a little bit, and he ran one in against them. But, I mean, you know, I do think there's something to be said about the defense and facing a mobile quarterback for the first time in a season when you didn't play in the preseason and all that kind of stuff. This is like you just barely miss a tackle. You know, Hutch has him.
It's not the first time Hutch has played against a mobile quarterback.
I know, but it's timing and speed. It is a different thing because I'll tell you what, that Buffalo game they played, even though they ended up losing it, he had a scramble in that game. Where I know people make the video game jokes about him playing video games.
Yep.
He looked like the video game. Like, honestly, he just went sideways in a move that you just don't see most guys do.
He's a tremendous athlete. There, diminutive size aside, he is a really good athlete.
In terms of the whole trust thing, obviously, I trust this team based on what I thought they would do going into the season. And last week didn't change my mind at all. If they were to lose this game, I'm going to be a little bit shaken because I simply thought that they were going to be a pretty dominant team this year.
Yep.
And
that would shake me. I mean, you asked Jim off the air, that would make the Seattle game a must win.
It would.
I mean, who thought we'd be sitting in those shoes?
I don't think we will be.
Especially for a team that's had your number.
Well, yeah, throw that in there too. 248-539-9797. Flying my family to Arizona tomorrow to watch the Lions on Sunday. Go Lions, Matt in Dundee.
All right.
Same sentiment.
Safe travels.
Yeah, safe travels. Same sentiment echoed by John, who's waiting. John, you're on 97.1.
What's up?
Good morning.
John and Joe here in a truck. We got a buddy in Phoenix who's also got a place up in Pinn County. He said, I'll fly you home if you drive my truck down. 29 hours. We left at 4 a.m. We're rolling.
All right. Nice.
We're taking the place over, boys. Go Lions!
Yes. Love Have it. You talked to any other Lions fans that are you're gonna meet up with out there?
Actually, yeah. One we played ball with from Adrian. He's going down there. He's flying down, but we're meeting up with him, too.
All right. Take it over, my friend.
Absolutely. Go Lions!
This is awesome.
He's wired, dude. Four in the morning.
4 in the morning, 29-hour drive. Driving down. I mean, who doesn't love a great road trip?
Minimal stops, I'm sure. They'll just go.
And he's only driving one way. He gets to fly back. His buddy said, yeah, we'll fly you back.
Works out well. Gets to go to the game. And I do think there'll be a big Lions contingent there.
So, yeah, we want to know, hey, more stories like that. Are you going? Because the big story last year was the amount of Lions fans that were so excited. And I'm wondering if this year it's even more because the wait list for season tickets are sold out. If you weren't able to get a ticket at Ford Field, are you now making that trip to other stadiums?
In some cases, it might be cheaper.
Well, it might be cheaper, yeah. And it's also just the fact that the ticket takers said what? Taking my family.
Yes.
Make this a family trip.
I have a real good friend, and every year he and his dad go to one Lions road game a year. It's like their tradition, and they get to see different parts of the country and different stadiums.
Where are they going this year?
I actually don't know which one they're going to this year. Oh. Which one would you pick?
Which one would I pick?
Like San Francisco? But it's around a holiday.
No, I don't like going to other countries. I would probably say
Dallas.
I
think they've done Dallas.
I would probably go to, I don't know, I was recently in Houston.
Yeah.
Loved it there. I'd probably pick Dallas. That one to me it's a, you know, get right game from everything that happened last year. It's a reckoning. That's where I think I would probably pick this year.
It's a good choice. Ticket Texter says, I feel confident, but I had a dream last night that the Lions got absolutely blown out. The red zone struggles continued. Maybe I'm not as confident as I keep telling myself.
That Ticket Text is mislabeled.
Jacob in a truck.
That's not a dream. That's a nightmare.
That is a nightmare. I trust the Lions. I just don't trust the universe. The universe won't allow Detroit to have two winning teams at the same time, and the Tigers are using up all of our wins.
It's not enough mojo to go around. We thought the jinx jumped over the road.
How about this? If I offer you two scenarios, Tigers win the series this weekend or the Lions win the game this weekend, which one would you take?
Lions.
Me too.
Because I still believe that even if they go the Tigers go 1-2.
They can hang in.
They'll still be in the mix.
Speaking of Tigers, tickets every hour on the show today. In the 7 o'clock hour, you're going to listen for Dan Dickerson saying, that's a joke. When you hear Dickerson say that's a joke, call in, win a pair of tickets to see the Tigers Tuesday. Tarek Skubal on the bump. Tickets available, tigers.com. Let's get to Travis and Howell. Travis, you're on 97.1.
Yeah, guys. Last year, a couple friends and I went to Baltimore, and it was a riot. I mean, there was a bar the Saturday night before the game, packed full, shoulder-to-shoulder Lions fans. It was awesome. And then this year, those two same friends and another friend are going to Indianapolis, and we're pumped.
Sweet. I'm actually see you down there. I'm going to try and get to that Indy game. It's obviously before Thanksgiving, and you know, West Lafayette's not far away. Take my daughter.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things about that stadium. Obviously, Big Ten championships there every year. So, yeah, we're pumped.
It's very much a city kind of like Baltimore where you're going to have some good food, and it's an easy walk-around city.
Yeah, awesome. I'm looking forward to it.
All right, man.
Good stuff, Travis. Yep. Thanks for the call.
248-539-9797. Ticket Texter says, Cardinals by 10. You guys are missing stuff. Harrison's going to destroy these defensive backs. This year will be a disappointment. This is your first taste of it. Signed, Chad.
Hmm. Thank you for crumbling that up. You should have done the whole, you know,
oh, the, like,
dramatic, yeah, like tear it right in front of you.
Tearing a paper, yes, yeah. One of these.
Yes. Yes. Now eat it. No, I'm just kidding. I think it's going to be interesting how Lions fans are right now thinking about this game. Because I think there is some concern. Nobody thought that they were going to lose last week. Nobody thought they should have lost last week.
But didn't it feel self-inflicted?
Oh, seven trips in the red zone and you come away with one touchdown? It's self-inflicted.
In other words, it doesn't shake what you think this team's ceiling is, what this team looks like on their best day. Do you really think a team that didn't lose back-to-back games all last year, hasn't lost back-to-back games going back to Halloween the year before, that bounced back consistently time after time, that has that leadership from Dan Campbell, that they are going to once again come out and be flat-footed and be a dull and not be sharp in the red zone? I don't. And I don't think Arizona has this great defense either, where it's like, oh, you just lost to a great football team.
Yeah. I think Thor comes out with his hair on fire. That's exactly what I think. I mean, just the way that Alex Hands only started the season. And I don't know if he plays or not.
Well, he was back at practice, I thought.
He was back at practice, yeah. But it's going to be one of those game time decisions, you know. And I don't believe he's cleared protocol. He's not going to be on the field if he doesn't. So,
yeah.
But this is one of those, you've got to set a tone early in the game.
This is a fork in the road game early in the season. Win, you got a winning record. Lose, you got a losing record, and you're going into a primetime game with Seattle calling it a must win.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys, where are you at? 248-539-9797. Phone calls, ticket texts, it's 97.1.
Open the show with some Tiger talk. We will take your Tiger calls at 248-539-9797. Your Tiger ticket texts to the same number. You want to tweet us at Dungator971. Just a reminder. You can stream the show using the Odyssey app. Download it for your mobile device today. AUDACY. Also streaming through our website, 971theticket.com. Streaming with video, go to twitch.tv, search up 971theticket, and bang, there we are. Hello, bang. Twitch crowd. Bang. Yes. Bang.
Bang.
Bang. And you can participate in the streaming chat there with the fine group of lunatics that are there on a daily basis. Same thing with youtube.com. Hello, YouTube. Go to youtube.com and you can watch the show that way as well. All right, so we're just talking about where the Lions, if I were a Cardinal fan, what would concern me. And I still, Arizona's hoping their offensive line can handle the Lions' defensive front. It's a great thing to have a great pass rush. I mean, Aiden Hutchinson getting a ton of love, although somehow didn't win Defensive Player of the Week with a 4.5 sack performance. But up front, can a 35-year-old Calvin Beecham handle Aiden Hutchinson? You know, one of their tackles. Can they? They've liked what they've seen from their offensive line so far, but this feels like the battle for Detroit to win this game that they have to win. Now, the good news is you can sit here and say, "Oh, Kyler Murray's tough to bring down." You know who's tough to bring down? Baker Mayfield, and they got to Baker Mayfield. Now, Murray might be even slippery.
He's tough,
But
they got the experience from a week ago.
Yeah, it's really no different, right? It's, hey, stay in your rush lanes, win your one-on-one battles. And the thing about Hutch now, Hutch is going to be dealing with, we saw him beat double teams last week where, you know, the tight end would chip him and then he'd take on a tackle and he'd still get a sack. So now he might have to deal with the tight end and the chip and the running back coming over and hitting him and the tackle waiting for him.
Well, and a better, let's just face it though, it's a better tackle this week than what he's faced the first 2 weeks.
I mean, it beats him at 35, we'll see.
I'm not saying he's going to shut him down. I think Hutch will get there. But I'm not expecting a 4.5 sack performance, a dominating performance like we saw last week. But I think Hutchinson can get there. The question is, will he have company? Will the other guys play along?
Mm-hmm.
And join in on the fun. And it looks like Onyeka just missed a couple of chances. He's probably, damn it, I wanted one. But these guys will have an opportunity for sure on Sunday to get home.
248-539-9797. Now, in the meantime, when the Lions have the ball, this isn't, I'm not Lombardi here, okay? I'm not Nick Saban. I think we all understand what they need to do is finish drives. You don't have to have an elite football mind. You don't have to be a coach. They've got to finish drives. It's pretty simple. And Arizona, I mean, they've been good on third down this year. They've been better against the run and pass, but they've been better defensively in these two games. And look, Buffalo put up some points. The Rams, I mean, everything might be skewed a little bit because the Rams are a shell of themselves with what they have left. But their yards per carry allowed is top five in the NFL through two games. Now, their passing defense, there's one thing about this. Opposing quarterbacks in the two games, so Stafford and Josh Allen, have completed 75% of their passes in these two games against the Cardinals defense. So it's something that Jared Goff and the pass game should be able to find open receivers. It should be the kind of day where they can get the ball, get it done through the air. I don't know if that's what people want to hear, because it feels like if we're listening to the callers this week, they want more David Montgomery. They want more David Montgomery, even though Montgomery isn't coming off a great statistical game.
Well, I think people want Montgomery when it makes sense to see more Montgomery. And the problem is they didn't get that opportunity last week. They weren't inside the 10-yard line.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get inside the 10-yard line, I'm with them. Yeah, I'll stand with you guys. Let's see more Montgomery. Otherwise, back off. Let Ben Johnson call the offense. He's going to get his carries, and Jahmyr Gibbs got his carries. And what's wrong with going with the hot hand? Maybe this week it is David Montgomery. It wasn't the first game. The second game, Jahmyr Gibbs had the hotter hand by a lot. So let it play out with the running back situation. They're going to be fine. I'm interested to see how they get Sam Laporta more involved.
Well,
because I think that's the correction we're going to see this week.
It's funny. Out of week one, it was like, where's Amon-Ra? He made his appearance in week two. Now it's where's Sam Laporta? We can't do this every week. if there's more footballs thrown Laporta's way, that probably means there's less thrown to somebody else. So we're not going to do this every week of who needs to get the football more. It's just a matter of winning the games and moving the foot. They've moved the football. They haven't finished drives. Laporta is without question a good weapon in the red zone. 8 of his 10 touchdowns were red zone touchdowns last year. And then there's also the case of Tim Patrick, who came in to Detroit, was here for 30 minutes, and got 33 snaps last week against Tampa.
Yeah.
So that's another guy that feels like he's getting crash coursed and could be a red zone threat.
Yeah, but it's through 2 weeks, though. It wasn't just last week without Laporta. Laporta's only been targeted 8 times in the 2 weeks, and I think we expected a lot more than that. And I think Sunday's going to be the correction with that one. He'll get a decent amount of targets. Heck, he might even get 8 targets on Sunday. You know, but they'll spread it around. I'm excited about Tim Patrick because of his size and because of his experience in the league. Because you mentioned 33 snaps, that's a lot.
Yep.
Okay. Now, they had a lot of snaps to offer last week, but his first opportunity gets 33. We'll see what percentage he's going to get in the game this week, but he's someone they're looking at. We were put on alert last week when we talked to Jared Goff a week ago, and he mentioned him right off the bat before he was even activated. And we talked to him about it this week, and he said, yeah, this is something that's going to be worth watching as the season progresses, because he is the only option they have at wide receiver that's above 6'2".
Feedback coming in from an unnamed texter. The Lions are not able to adequately deal with a mobile quarterback, period. Until they prove otherwise, that's exactly how I'm going to feel.
So what team does well with a
It's funny, a because, right? I feel like every fan base says the same thing about their team. Can't handle a mobile quarterback. Mobile quarterbacks give people problems. Full stop, right? I mean, it's one thing that they do that gives people problems. And they might put up some stats, but I mean, Baker Mayfield didn't exactly light the world on fire last week. He did make some plays. Credit him. He threw for 185 yards and rushed for 34.
Yeah, but he was perfect when he was throwing the ball. He didn't make any mistakes, completes over 80% of his passes, and literally has a perfect quarterback rating for the game of 158.
Baker Mayfield.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I said Baker Mayfield.
I'm thinking Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
My bad.
It's okay. I was like, Baker Mayfield was not. Yeah, but anyway, yes, Kyler Murray, if he goes out and has another game like that, but I would take, if Kyler Murray's held to 185 yards passing.
But what about Baker Mayfield?
If Kyler Murray is held to 185 yards passing and 34 yards rushing, are you happy?
Yes.
Okay, Baker Mayfield's a mobile quarterback. So I think we have a recent example of the Lions adequately dealing, as he put it, with a mobile quarterback.
Well, they did, but I also, again, will point to the fact that they were playing without some players on the offense there, on the offensive line in particular. And that plays a role into it, plays a big role into it. But our point about every team just about in the NFL has difficulties once a quarterback decides to take off and run. If they're one of those guys, Kyler Murray is one of those guys. Lamar Jackson is one of those guys. Baker Mayfield, to an extent, is one of those guys. Justin Fields is one of those guys. People have a skill set. And when the play breaks down, it's time for them to take off and go, you're going to have problems.
It's frustrating because you feel like when the quarterback has to scramble, you are in the process of winning the down. And then the quarterback makes you lose it. And I get the frustration with it, but that's what running quarterbacks do. Next text, they are going 1-2, guys. The defense won't travel and won't have the juice of Ford Field behind them. The red zone continues to be very bad for the offense. It doesn't, 1 out of 7 doesn't get fixed overnight. Actually, it can.
The defense has been really good. And don't underestimate the power of the Lions that travel to Arizona. Lions fans.
Yes. Yes. I mean, look, I would imagine we probably got 2 or 3 listeners right now that could pick up the phone and say, I'm going. Arizona is an easy road trip. It's not hard to get Cardinal tickets. And I would suspect that Detroit fans will be present in big numbers. These are plans. These are trips that you plan months in advance. And I suspect Lions fans will be there.
Well, maybe Ben Johnson will pick up the phone and call Matt Patricia and find out what Matt Patricia learned his first year when they took on the Cardinals and Kyler Murray was able to get that win. It was an overtime, I believe. What did you learn from that? Can you pass that on to my guys now so that we can figure this out?
You think if Ben Johnson called Matt Patricia, the first thing Matt Patricia says when he picks up the phone is, you're welcome. Before we get started, Ben. Yeah. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this is what I, you know.
Dude, wasn't
I
that
built
game
that.
A tie? That was a tie.
Did they end up tying it? I know they went to overtime. Yeah.
Yeah, they tied that game.
Plus, there's a lot of snowbirds and transplants that, from Michigan, you know,
absolutely.
In Arizona, the Michiganders out there. And now that we have a good football team, more likely to go to a game as well.
Now, will it be the same juice of Ford Field? Obviously not. But I also don't think this is the, relatively speaking, if you look around the NFL, with all respect to Arizona, isn't considered one of the tough places to go play. But it is still a road trip, yes. 248-539-9797. All right, Lions fans, what do you feature offensively this week? If you are building the game plan, who do you want to see showcased this week? Who is important to have the football in their hands this week? 248-539-9797. Get to some college stuff coming up next hour. We'll go inside Allen Park at 12:30 with the Birchie Kid here on 97.1 The Ticket.
Oh, happy thank you for birthday, that. You scumbag.
Thank
you. Yeah. What are you, 36?
37.
Oh, dear.
37.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, catching you.
You're really? All right?
We ain't catching Rico, but I'm catching you, Mike.
No.
I thought you were right there.
Really?
We're getting there.
That's a hard 37.
37, yeah. It's been a rough 37, boys.
Jesus.
A rough 37.
Country miles. Well, welcome in for your birthday fiesta. So we've asked a question. I want to know where you're at with it.
All right.
Which team are we going to learn the most about this week between Lions, Michigan, and Michigan State?
Oh, I think the Lions. Yeah, I think we know. Well, you know, I think we have a better feeling of what Michigan and Michigan State are. Michigan State, start with them. Looks like a team that, you know, could surprise some people and maybe play a little bit better, but probably it's, to me, still looks like maybe a 7-win team. Michigan, I feel like I know what they are. I feel like, you know, they're going to be lucky to get to 8.
Oh, you've been negative be lucky since day one.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, you lose, and look, it's, you lose that many starters, you lose that many key players. You don't have impact players at key positions, quarterback, offensive line. The defense certainly hasn't been, you know, anywhere as good enough as we hope they were going to be. I think we know what they are. I think we know that they're probably, if they're lucky, an 8-win team as well. I'm more interested in finding out what the Lions are. I know the stats and, you know, last 30 games or whatever it is, they haven't lost back-to-back games. Well, that's in the past. Like, that doesn't translate year to year. You know what I mean? You still got to go out there, and I feel like you still got to kind of form an identity on offense, right?
Last week was running the damn football.
Yeah, you got to start running it. Last week was, you know, it was, I'm not going to say it was bad, but because you look at the stat sheet and we outsacked them 5-0, right? We outgained them by more than double. We kept them to 216 yards. You look at that without looking at the scoreboard and you're saying, oh my gosh, it's a blowout. The bottom line is the situation of football was just bad, right? The turnovers, you had 3 2-minute drives, you got 0 points combined. The red zone we know was atrocious. That to me is not something that you can just flip a switch and okay, we're going to focus this week on the red zone, because you do it every single week. So you guarantee Arizona's going to give you a lot of the same looks you saw last week and what you saw against the Rams. And I'm more interested in to see how they're going to respond. They've got a lot of really talented players, we know that, but something's just been off with this offense. The defenses look good. We've talked about that, but something's just not clicking right now. And I think I talked about it Monday. This isn't a knock on the other receivers by any means, but I think Jared Goff personally is missing Josh Reynolds a little bit. I know Lions fans, you know, their last memory of Josh Reynolds was the NFC Championship game with a couple drop passes, but he was a big part of this offense on third down and in the red zone and making plays when you had to have him. I don't think he has that trust really in the number three receiver right now. So
see, it's funny because
that's just going to take time. So he had years of reps with Josh Reynolds going back to his Rams days.
See, I didn't think it could be that simple as just there's no Reynolds here. It's like, you know, it can't be that. It's got to be something else. But you think it could just be that simple?
I do. Well, because I think there were so many times last year in a big third down or even a red zone where, you know what, I know the coverage, we're out leveraged, or you know, maybe it's not the ideal formation for what we want to run, but I've hit this pass so many times to this guy, I know where he's going to be. I'm not saying that they're not doing that right now, but I think that when you have 4, 5, 6 years of trust and chemistry with a certain guy, that's hard to duplicate. And certainly I think they're going to get there eventually. I just don't think they've been there throughout the first two games.
Then can I ask a question? Just, I'm asking, then why didn't you just pay the damn guy?
I mean,
I'm asking, I mean, if you're all in, and if you're right, I don't know that you are, I'm asking,
yeah,
if he's that important, why the hell didn't you just pay the damn guy?
It's a good question. I mean, I don't know. And I'm not sitting here saying, you know, Josh Reynolds was some all-pro type guy.
No, I know exactly what you're saying. Look, he was the ultimate third down security blanket.
He was the ultimate security blanket for Jared Goff. Maybe not for, you know, be a key piece of you want to build your offense around. But I think that him and Goff had a certain chemistry that you just haven't been able to duplicate yet. And I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but yet with some of these new guys, Tim Patrick, and we know, you know, Khalif Raymond's been kind of the de facto number three receiver. I don't think they want to put him as a number three receiver. They want to use him more on special teams and have him as a gadget type guy. I don't think they want to be putting Khalif out there for 50 snaps a game. They're gonna have to if they can't find anybody else. But that was, you know, Mike,
it works, David.
Thank you. Oh, that's what all the whispering was going about?
We had a technology issue, and with the picks looming this hour.
And you really needed that drop.
You're here. Okay. It's your birthday.
Wait till break.
Get there.
That, you know, and go back to your question, Mike. That was one of the key concerns, I think, in the offseason, right? How are you going to address the receiver position? Because the rest of the team looked like it really didn't have many holes in it outside of that depth receiver spot. And you know, they brought in Tim Patrick, who seemed like he was getting acclimated last week, and Allen Robinson, who's been on the practice squad. So they need to speed one of those guys up when it comes to Jameson's kind of the deep guy. Amon-Ra's getting coverage underneath. Laporta still kind of catching his feet a little bit from the training camp injury. You need somebody else in there that can just you get one-on-one coverage, can take advantage of the opportunities, and can build that trust with the quarterback.
TJ, it looks like the Lions have kind of been playing catch-up, where – first game, you didn't really see anything with Amon-Ra. It was all J-Mo. Last week, it was okay. It's going to be St. Brown's turn. It almost seems like, where's Laporta? Is this a Laporta-type game where it's going to be his 2024 breakout game?
That's hard to say. I mean, because like the coaches, I don't think he's hurt, but I think that they have a history of, if you miss training camp and you're unavailable in the preseason, we can't just throw you back in there and expect things to just pick off where they were, you know, week 18 of last year. Like, that's not how it works, right? And I think Coach even admitted that, where, you know, he's been banged up a little bit. It's hard, you know, coming out of training camp. How many reps are we going to give him? Do we know what kind of workload he can handle? We put in this big game plan for him, and all of a sudden, 10 plays in, he's out. we got to change everything. You know what I mean? Those are just issues you don't want to be going through on Sunday. But I think maybe the first two games, they needed to see if he could handle the workload that they were giving him. And, you know, nothing hasn't been on the injury report. And also, I think this could be a week where maybe if they were holding something back just because they weren't sure about the availability, where you say, okay, well, he's got two solid games in now. You know, he's given us 75% of the snaps in the first two games. We think he's ready to finally handle the workload and be maybe that lead guy in some of the key situations, the third down and back to that red zone target that he was a big part of last year. So I think he could. I think they're definitely going to try to involve him more. But to be the focal point, it's hard to say because you've got guys like Amon-Ra that needs the ball. You're a better team when he touches the ball 10 times. You're a better team when you're able to take the top off the defense with Jameson Williams. You're a better team when you can get the ball to Jahmyr Gibbs in space. And we all know they're a better team when you can run the ball. So it's hard to say, you know, this is this guy's week to get all the targets in and go dominate.
You're a better team, but when you get in the red zone, you're not. Because all those guys had, you know, great games. You know, Amon-Ra had, you know, his 10 catches last week. You didn't win the game. You scored 16 points.
Yeah.
When you get in the red zone, that's money time for LaPorta, and it's just like, I guess that's why I expect to see him more, and I haven't seen that in the first two games.
Yeah, the red zone was tough last week, and you know what? Going back and watching the film again, I mean, I know Ben Johnson and Dan Campbell said, we got to run the ball in the red zone, right? No duh. You have to run the ball. Everything tightens up. The safeties are a little bit closer, but in my mind, you can't wait till you get to the red zone to start running the ball. Offensive linemen, running backs, you need to get into a rhythm. You need to understand how the defense is flowing. You need to understand, okay, hey, maybe we're trying to stretch the ball, but it's getting limited. Hey, guys, we're going to start cutting it back when we get down in here. I think 13 of the first 15 plays last week were passing plays, right? So the run game's not just something, hey, we crossed the 20, boom, now we're going to run it. No, you got to get into a rhythm early, especially with this team. That's your identity. So I think there's times where coaches kind of outsmart themselves going into games saying, you know what? Hey, man, this Tampa D-line or their front seven, really hard to run the ball, so we're just going to come out and make it a completion game. You can also lose track of, we've got one of the best offensive lines. We've got one of the best 1-2 punches at running back. Why don't we go try to, we're at home, why do we not go try to establish the line of scrimmage, run the ball early until they show us that they can stop it? But the one fix I think I got that was a constant in the red zone was the first down plays. And I charted them. First down, first and 10, incomplete pass. First and 10, 0-yard run. First and 10, 1-yard reception. And then the next two first and 10s you had, -4-yard run, -4-yard pass. Now you're in second and longs. There's no threat to run the ball. So you're going to get seven guys dropping. We know if you got four guys out on the route, there ain't going to be many holes. And you, no disrespect to Jared Goff. We've seen him use his wheels a little bit the last couple games. If you don't have a mobile quarterback that can extend plays down in the red zone and find guys open and get guys into the holes once you start getting out of the pocket like Kyler Murray does, it's really tough to convert in the passing game when you're backed up second and 16. So I think one of the big keys this week in the red zone, first down, you got to be able to pick up half and at least keep the threat of a run on second and third down. They didn't do that enough last week.
What do you I want to ask this the right way so it doesn't sound like I'm being negative. What do you make of Jack Campbell?
I think Jack's still a young player. I think Jack flashes a lot, but I think Jack might get lost a little bit at times.
Yeah, right? Snap count-wise, I mean, he's clearly the third backer.
Yeah.
Like, he's just not – I wanted your take. I go long stretches, and I go, does this guy play for this team?
I think he does. I'm not giving up on Jack Campbell.
I didn't say give up.
No, I still see flashes, and I still am realistic to say this is a young player that just continues to need – he needs to continue just to get reps and understand things. And I think sometimes you can tell for young guys that get lost at times, like they're thinking too much, right? I got to go here. I got to go. Sometimes you just got to settle down, right? Just stay in your spot. Stay in your zone. I saw the one play last week where it was the busted coverage where they scored the touchdown on Chris Godwin. I saw people giving Jack Campbell, you know, hell for that. Let me set it straight. In no world, in any level of football, would you have a linebacker covering deep third, okay? So I would say that was not on Jack Campbell. He was the closest guy to Chris Godwin. That wasn't his responsibility. So maybe that's a play that people are looking at. But
I think what Mike is trying to say is when will we see that first-round selection?
Yeah, I mean –
like, you can't beat Derek Barnes and Anzalone out. I drafted you first. You got to be better than one of them.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think that with Anzalone, he's clearly the number one guy at that position.
He never leaves the field, TJ.
He never leaves the field. We don't know what his availability is going to be this weekend. I'm assuming, you know, probably 4 o'clock we'll get the injury report. But probably going to be a questionable type player. If he's out, I think that's where you see Jack Campbell step in and maybe get 60 plays this game against Arizona. But yeah, I think you're right. I'm not going to say that the clock's ticking out on Jack Campbell, but you'd like to see a little bit more consistency.
That was all.
I do still think he is a very physical presence in the middle. He's definitely a lot better in the run game than he has been in coverage,
yes.
Right? But I think that's probably the hardest step for a lot of young linebackers to take at the NFL level is keeping up with the speed, staying in your zone, being disciplined, not letting the quarterback, not letting his eyes dictate where you want to jump to, but being disciplined. I think it takes a while for some of these guys to really understand the pass coverage and the meshes and the just feeling where your buddy's supposed to be, trusting your teammates. Because I think even on the first drive, Tampa clearly blew an assignment. They had two guys run the same over route early.
Yeah, they were right next to each other.
And I think Jack just kind of, you could tell he's reading the quarterback's eyes and he kind of jumped to his left. If he just feels the presence of the guys to his left, he knows, okay, I got help over there. I can lean a little bit more right. Maybe that's where the big plays start to come from.
All right, we'll get to your phone calls. I want to ask you about U of M. I have a theory on what they can do to, like, not be terrible. I want you to tell me.
Oh, I'd love to hear that.
Okay, I'm going to offer it.
You got more hope than I do now.
We'll get to it next.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.